Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is June 25th, 2025. It's time to hump. Hump, hump, hump. We got Jimmy Van here. If you guys want your question or statement read on the air, donate a super chat or a humper chat like our good friend Ibu Mania has done twice. You can go to humperchats.com to get those in as well, or just here at youtube.com/Fightful. A couple of very quick notes before I ask Jimmy how he is. We had a great interview with Abyss yesterday. I hit up WWE at about like 11 a.m. and I was like, hey, can I interview Abyss? And they're like, yeah, sure, 1:15 p.m. And we did it. It was a lot of fun. We got Holly Hood Haley J coming up this week. And Mike Straw posted a video. Don't sleep on these guys. The Fightful Presents videos. Public Enemies, Unpredictable WWF Run, and Why It Ended. Also, over the last week and a half, top prospect Brittany Brooks, Richard Holiday, Scotty Wrestling interviewed Sari. We had Joe Hendry on. Lots of people just flocking to speak to Fightful, Jimmy.
Flocking. So I assume you wanted Abyss because of the game. Is that why?
No. The WWE 2K25.
Yeah. Sure. Good for him that he's in it. Good for him.
Yeah. You know? I thought that was very cool. I love that they had the entrance theme in there. Yep. The Dunks and Destruction pack.
Good for him. Good for him. Seems like a good guy. And you know, we're doing this on June 25th. Tomorrow, Sean, June 26th is not only my mother's birthday. Tomorrow, we're supposedly putting the new Fightful site live.
Yeah, I've heard that one before.
Anybody watching this on Wednesday live or whatever, tomorrow, the 26th, the new Fightful site should be live. If it's glitchy, I apologize.
Yes.
But that's what's happening.
We've been trying for weeks. Jimmy and I were talking off camera and, like, we decided to implement so many different things at once. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but like sites like Sportskeeda, the reason why there's so much clickbait on Facebook, they make like over 30 grand a month on their Facebook, like just the Facebook. We don't make anything. We have never made a dime off Facebook or Instagram. We're struggling to find a way to speak to a human being that can actually get us monetized. So we're working on that. We implemented a completely different social media strategy over there. We're trying to on Instagram as well. We signed a deal with TikTok. Not only did I sign with an agent, but Fightful got an agent as well during that period. But we were migrating the website. We expanded our social media team. We launched the Espanol wing of Fightful all within like, I think, 2 months of one another. So we got a lot of stuff working at the same time, and it's going to finally start to smooth out, level out. And I want to thank Logan for the incredible work that he has done helping us out with that. What a guy he is.
Logan's been fantastic, and he, I hope he knows I appreciate him, because I've told him several times. And yeah, if anybody's listening to this who works at Meta or has a friend working at Meta,
oh my God,
hit us up, because I know people from my sales days that used to work at Meta, but because I haven't dealt with them in sales in many, many years, I don't know anybody currently that works there. So they've been a problem. So if anybody knows anyone, reach out. That would be great.
Well, they're awful happy to keep taking the traffic we give them free, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And not paying us. But let's get to a couple of these super chats, humper chats. Just Mask says, Sean, I saw your answer to my question in Ask SRS. Quick FightfulSelect.com plug. We have a Fightful Select exclusive Discord where I answer questions. He says, we going to see Weird Al in Beaver Dam next weekend. I think I'm going to go. Where is Beaver Dam?
That sounds like the kind of place that Weird Al Yankovic would perform.
It's in Kentucky.
That's probably why he asked you. Yeah.
Yeah. I had never heard of Beaver Dam, Kentucky. Let me see how far it is from here. I mean, listen, I am not a big concert guy, Like, I went to see my favorite band because I found out they were playing like 10 minutes away from my house. Mm. It's like 2.5 hours away. Listen, I like Weird Al Yankovic, but I am not a drive 2.5 hours, 5 hours total guy for Weird Al. But have you seen the docu-pic of him?
I have not. The one that had the Harry Potter guy in it.
Oh, it's so good, Jimmy.
Yeah, I have not seen it.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Like, it is a must watch. You would love that movie.
Have you seen the movie UHF?
When I was very, very young.
I love that movie. So Michael Richards is in that. And I think that might have been pre-Kramer, I think.
Oh, it was.
Or right around the same time.
Maybe. UHF, I think, was in the 80s.
Yeah, it was. And when was Seinfeld? Late 80s or late
90s? I think if I remember, UHF was like, I want to say 84.
No,
it was 89. It was 89.
Okay.
And then Seinfeld was shortly after that. But
yeah, Fran Drescher's in that. I think Victoria Jackson's in that. Man, I haven't seen it in a long time, but it is underrated for humor.
I watched one called Fart the Movie the other day, Jimmy.
I haven't seen that one.
It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Worse than Freddy Got Fingered?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it?
Significantly less funny. Like, there was nothing about Freddy or about Fart the Movie that made me go, okay, this is performance art. It's just the same joke over and over again is all it is.
So somebody said UHF is free on YouTube. There you go.
Okay.
Underrated movie. It's not bad at all.
Let's get to some super chats and humper chats. We're here to talk about what you guys want to talk about. Ibu Mania says, I believe when Jamie Hayter is cleared from concussion protocol, she'll resume her feud with Tekla, lose that match, finish out her contract, and go to WWE whenever she can. I don't know. I mean, first off, I don't know if it's concussion protocol. I want to make that clear. But I think, okay, we'll do some reckless speculation. Now, I just want to make it clear. If you aggregate this, you're an absolute moron. If you aggregate this quote, you're a dipshit. She debuted in summer of 2021. If she's still there, she would have had to have had at least a 3-year contract with a year plus added on due to injury time, plus visa time, all that stuff. So that could possibly be a thing that would leave her, you know, with not that much time left, but you know, maybe she signed a 5-year deal. She signed a 5-year deal. Well, my God, she signed till 2026 plus injury time. So it would be quite a way. I think she would actually fit in really well in WWE. Honestly, I think probably like 70-80% of each other's roster at this point would fit in fairly well. Like, I don't think The Miz would fit in well in AEW at all. There are some people I don't think on the AEW roster that would fit in well in WWE, but I think Jamie Hayter's one of those people that would translate really well, Jimmy.
Yeah. I mean, Blake Monroe, I think is like fits like a glove in that environment. And Jade Cargill, we'll talk about, later on. Jade, in terms of the entertainment factor, is a fit. I don't know if, it feels like she's having trouble clicking with the audience. You tell me if you agree. But in terms of her look and her charisma, Jade's a perfect fit for that company. I just don't know if she's clicking just yet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she is clicking just yet, especially in the ring. Yeah. Like, after when you got somebody in there like Roxanne and they can't put on the same, put on even a match that people are like, oh, okay, yeah, that's solid. There was a lot of stuff that happened throughout that match. And you're like, whoa, okay, that one didn't quite hit. And she's been wrestling for 4.5 years. Like, but what I do think will happen, I think she'll win Queen of the Ring. I think she'll actually win the title, and then and then I think Naomi will cash in on her very quickly.
Same night, you think, or you think they're going to give her a run?
I think same night's the best idea. I think
because she's probably going to go after Tiffany, probably because she can have either champ, but probably Tiffany. Yeah, she's on the SmackDown brand. You think Jade's going to beat Tiffany?
Yeah, I do.
Wow, interesting. Naomi makes perfect sense to me. That makes perfect sense. But
I mean, they could also do a thing where if you really wanted to, Jade challenges EO, because I mean, all due respect to Tiffany. Tiffany is still like a young performer.
Yeah.
You'd trust EO to have that kind of match a little bit more. And then Naomi cashes in on Jade and because Jade loses the title, she's got to go back to SmackDown. Naomi's over to Raw. So it's a way that Naomi can kind of big brain the whole situation into winning a title, screwing Jade, and getting away from Jade as well, which is something that I think her character would do. I think she's killing it right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think regardless of whether it's Tiffany or Io, I think Jade gets the heel reaction from that live audience against another one.
Yeah.
So, if anything, they might want to lean into that with her, I think, because she, like I said, she hasn't been clicking with the crowd. They might want to go the heel route with her.
Ibu Mania says they created women's titles. They've been stagnant for a year. Seems to me like a belt for Mercedes. That's not the situation. So this is actually something I had heard a couple weeks ago as well before BodySlam.net reported it. They have had AEW women's titles produced. I don't know about the year time frame. I think it might be like a long, might even be longer than that. It's just they sometimes they had titles produced in the event that they need to use them. That happened with, I don't want to say there was another belt that was made, but one that was almost the All Atlantic International title was discussed as being made. But like that's just, they have them produced that way. They aren't facing a crunch whenever it is that they need to use them. There was nothing about Mercedes that caused those titles to be made or to be delayed or anything like that. But yeah, what I think that honestly, women's tag team titles would be a good call, Jimmy. They have not mentioned hardly anything about the ROH Pure Women's Championship since they announced it, which all due respect to the wonderful women that are wrestling in AEW and ROH, I don't think you need five women's singles titles before you get one set of tag titles, Jimmy.
I agree. And my only reluctance to tag titles would be if they continue utilizing Ring of Honor titles on the AEW television show.
So this is why I've always pitched for them. They aren't AEW women's tag team titles. You call them world women's tag titles.
I see. Okay.
And Floaters. You defend them on ROH, on AEW. If you ain't got anything for somebody to do, you put them over there. You send some people to New Japan Strong and say, hey, send us some people here over to Stardom as a co-promotion thing. Do it there. Have them pop up on the indies. Like when Tony wants to send talent for the Action Dean shows and stuff like that, like he did recently. That would be cool too. Like allow that to happen and make them world women's tag titles. And you show talent across the world. If you want to be a women's tag team wrestler, this is the place that you go. Because what place, Jimmy, is really firmly planting their flag as that? I don't know why more people don't, or more companies don't really invest in that. Everybody can relate to wanting to win the tag titles with their brother, their sister, their best friend, their cousin, anybody, their mom or dad are in some situations even. But like, I don't know why they don't, why companies don't hammer into that and really utilize that more.
What do you think about how, because we've talked a lot about how the WWE women's tag team titles, I mean, they haven't been utilized the greatest, but one of the issues now is, you know, first Liv, she goes away because she's got the film role. Now she's injured. Raquel is from all accounts is still going to be one half of the tag team champions to get a new partner. What do you think about that mentality of one of the champs is hurt? So rather than have them forfeit and put the belts on like, you know, a new team, do a tournament, whatever, they just let the other one keep the belt, get a new partner. Like, what do you think about that idea?
I'm okay with it, especially when it's a Freebird situation. Those titles have been so snake bitten that I understand not wanting to vacate them. And I am okay with that. But I, men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. Hims provides you with convenient and quality access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray, and serum treatments to find out what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/fightful. That's hims.com/fightful for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/fightful. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
I actually really like the AEW method that they have. I don't know if they've explicitly mentioned it, but the way they do it is a person can replace them, but they're not officially the tag champion until they defend it. So
that's how they do it. Okay.
Yes. I was told that explicitly. I hit up AEW and I was told that's their line of thinking, or it was for the Moxley Trios thing, right? When they lost the Trios title, it's that person wouldn't officially become a champion until they defended that title in that match, but they did get the option for it, which it's not the traditional method, but at one point, Jimmy, the Freebird method wasn't the traditional method.
Yeah.
And then it became the Freebird rule.
Do you remember this? This is me being old school again. Do you remember when the Bulldogs, the British Bulldogs, were the champions and Dynamite got hurt? Do you remember that? This is probably before your time.
Not old enough to remember that one.
Okay, well, I am. And some of our viewers might be too. So Dynamite Kid gets injured legit, right? Mm-hmm. It was a house show and he put out his back on the live events because they're not doing live TV every week back then. So on the live events, Davey Boy would have a different partner against whoever. So I think he had like Billy Jack Haynes sometimes and whoever, he would have just a different partner. When it was time for them to drop the titles to the Hart Foundation on TV, and they never, I don't think, showed this, at least not after the first airing, Davey Boy piggybacked Dynamite to the ring. He piggybacked him to the ring, and they did a thing where Jimmy Hart supposedly hit Dynamite with the megaphone right at the onset because Dynamite couldn't work.
Yeah.
So they had Jimmy Hart hit him to put him out on the floor, and then Davey worked the match by himself and got beat. And that's how they handled it back then. Now, if it was a different era, they just give Davey another partner. And that's
yeah.
it.
You know? I mean, it's pro wrestling, so it's scripted, yeah, exactly. And I'm okay with a lot of that. If like you want to defend it by yourself,
right?
I think that should be an option as well.
Sure. That I agree with for sure. And Raquel, you know what? With Raquel, that might make sense. You know what I mean?
It might. But I don't mind Roxanne sliding in there at all. I mean, listen, I'm a big Roxanne guy anyway.
It's good for her.
I think that she's one of my favorite in-ring performers in WWE already. Like, she's gotten so good. Mm-hmm. BL says, question for Jimmy. We've answered this before, but not the second part. Was Sean always your first choice to start Fightful? Was there a second option if Sean called you a dweeb after rejecting you? So you mentioned that there was somebody that you contacted before, but we never answered if, first off, you can tell that story. And then if there was an option, if I said no.
So I talked to like three different people.
Was Mike Killam one of them too?
I don't remember, to be honest. Might have been. I don't know. I know at the time, like I reached out to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Had conversations with like three aside from you. Because I wanted a certain, you know what I was looking to do, right? So I wanted to be a destination for breaking news. And I wanted to lean into video because back then nobody was really doing it. That was breaking news. So there was only so many people that I thought could fit that bill. In terms of second option, I never got that far because I had a conversation with Sean. I like Sean and we kind of went the way we went. I've told the story before about the person that I was considering the most aside from Sean pissed me off on our first phone call. So that was the end of that. In terms of the other people, it just never got that far. We did one phone call and then I went with you. So that was it.
Yeah. I was incredibly relieved when Jimmy went with me because, before this, I was working for the most visited wrestling news website. And before that, we had the phrasing was the most visited independent wrestling news website. And then when I was there, I'll pat myself on the back here. A lot of the work that I did helped us go from the most visited independent wrestling website to the most visited wrestling website. And the money was not reflecting that. And when I say the money wasn't reflecting that, I didn't mean like making a lot of money. I mean, I was on food stamps at that point. Like I was being told I couldn't work at other news outlets to make ends meet as a result. So when Jimmy hit me up and we discussed an amount, it was a fair amount. And I was so relieved. Then I found out he hired Vince Russo and I asked for $5,000 more. That is a factual thing. But best decision I've ever made.
Vince was cool to me. I had no issues with Vince. He was all right.
Well, yeah. Wait till he finds out he can make more than a dime by being terrible to you. We've got super chats and humper chats rolling in. Bill says loving the WWE Vault on YouTube, but do they own the WCW YouTube channel as well? Those videos are classics. Yes, they do own that channel as well. It is something that they have wisely monetized. Jimmy, they are probably going to end up making the money back from the sale just off of the WCW YouTube Vault channel.
Maybe they've already have. Who knows?
50 million views since they launched it 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, yep. They're doing real good with that channel. They keep like a live stream that goes all the time. You can just go to WCW Vault. This is not an ad, but they have a vault there where you can just do that. Then they'll put up stuff like Scott Steiner versus Goldberg, and it'll do like a million views.
Yeah, if only I had money back in 2001, I would have like beat Vince's offer and then I would have flipped it to Vince for 10 times the price.
Yeah.
Too bad.
But like nostalgia content is in big and you can put up something like Ming fighting the giant and it gets a million views. I see a clip here. One of the loudest pops in WCW history and it's Dean Malenko taking off a mask to reveal himself, like a million views. They are making good money off of that. And it's very wise. Anybody with a huge library like that really should be monetizing content like that. It's very, very wise. We've got Tony P saying, I said this morning on In the Weeds that TNA WWE doesn't feel special anymore. It's oversaturated, along with TNA feeling like NXT's sister brand now. That has me asking now if you think WWE would have just bought TNA already if the MLW suit didn't happen. So MLW filed an antitrust lawsuit. They ended up getting a big settlement out of it. Jimmy, I actually don't think they would have bought TNA. I think this is to help
the NXT talent.
Help the NXT talent, but it's also to help prevent any antitrust cases in the future as well, is why they're working with a company like this. But outside of the video library, which again, I do actually think that based on these vault things, WWE, however much they would buy TNA for, they could almost certainly make it back, but they have not been in the library acquisition business for a long time. AAA was a shocker for that reason. Mm-hmm. But since the network went away, they have not been buying like companies, libraries, a lot of stuff like that. It used to be like, it felt like every year they were buying a new library, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the AAA thing, I don't think it really had anything to do with the library. I think it has to do with Hunter's vision of what does he call it? Global localization, I think is what he called it. I think that has to do with that. But I don't know. Now that AEW is established as a very firm number two company, I think you could say worldwide, WWE, I think, would have less concerns if they wanted to acquire TNA, but it sounds like TNA's asking price is high. And I know DeMore talked about that too.
It is. And I'm going to push back on this. 1,000% they'd have bought TNA if the MLW suit didn't happen. And I'll ask, for what? For what? What do they get? A library. That's it.
Yeah.
That is it. And people say, Well, the talent there. The talent that are on exclusive paid per appearance agreements that you'd have to rework anyway to reasonably get them to work. No. What, are they buying some rings, some aprons, some equipment? No, that's all rented now. Mm-hmm. So it'd be for the library. What, for the TV slot? Well, I hate to tell you, but they can get a better TV slot by slapping a WWE logo on literally anything else. They don't need to buy companies like TNA because they can start Evolve or LFG and just get them a better TV deal.
Right, I agree.
TNA would love to be on A&E right now, but they're not. To eliminate another place for talent to work, listen, we're not talking about... I think you have a real misconception of how much people are getting paid in TNA. The vast majority of these people are on exclusive PPA deals. They are not on salaried situations. I mean, a lot of them are there because the exposure of the situation is around. Like, they could have bought TNA for probably much cheaper years ago than they would have now.
Oh, for sure.
100%. Like, I just... They could have bought TNA a number of times over the years. And I'm surprised they didn't when they were in library acquisition mode, Jimmy. It's just now, outside of a library. Yeah. And Matthew Hooks, Matthew, don't put words in my fucking mouth here, buddy. WWE wants a monopoly. Let's stop pretending like they care about the health of the wrestling industry. Let's stop acting like I said that, Matthew, because I didn't fucking say that. I did not say that whatsoever. And you're taking it out of context. I said, what is the benefit? A tape library, that's it. Talent? They can wait until this talent is up and then sign them. All of that's what they did to Jordan Grace. That's what they'll probably do with Joe Hendry.
Yeah.
That's what they'll probably do with Mike Santana. What, I do not know why people take that and say, oh, well, they're not threatened by TNA. They have not been threatened by TNA in over a decade. Over a decade.
Yeah.
Since it's to their Destination America, they have not been threatened by TNA.
It's really to their benefit that TNA stays as is.
Yes.
Because as is, there's really no financial liability to WWE. Like, the cost is very minimal. And they give their talent a place to work. Like, we've talked before about how, look at Jade Cargill is a perfect example. They're only working one day a week now, most weeks.
Yeah. And then they're getting AJ Francis at a discounted rate when they want to use him.
Right.
Or Elias at a discounted rate when they want to use him.
Right.
Any number of people that
they have their pick. Because TNA wants the NXT exposure. So they got their pick. They don't have to pay to put the shows on. And then the NXT talent get another rep a week if they decide to put them there, like a Trick Williams. So it's beneficial to keep it the way it is.
Now, if ROH and New Japan had remained the same size that they were, like, before AEW came along, WWE would certainly be in the acquisition mode of them for the purposes of trying to eliminate a place to work. Because ROH and New Japan, when you combined those deals, and this is why those two companies probably should have done dual contracts, whether it be comparable financially, those people can go and they add indie dates as well. And you've got people, at least as of your 2017, 2018, there were a whole lot of people that were making good livings on the indies, Jimmy. Like, during, I'm not saying Flow Slam was the reason, do you remember when Flow Slam was a thing and like every indie was being broadcast? Was a remarkable amount of exposure. I mean, I can tell you, after doing that show with Riddle was doing real good on the indies. Now, he was not doing what he made in WWE, but he was doing a respectable living. And ROH and New Japan were about to step up and offer him some deals then. They were about to budge from their stance. He was going to leave Evolve. And then they're like, oh, no, come on over here now.
Yeah.
Because they WWE saw those. WWE, I mean,
yeah.
WWE offered Riddle the deal because they're like, okay, yeah, now that we don't have our thumb on him anymore and he's willing to go to ROH and make them money, that was certainly a place that they looked at like that. With TNA, they've got a working relationship with those people and can use their talent at a discounted rate. Like, they serve to be in business with TNA a lot better than putting them out of business because of the antitrust thing, because of the talent aspect. But again, I fully believe that if WWE did buy TNA, they would make more money off of the library.
Depending on what they got to pay for it, I guess. I mean, if under their old business model, when they wanted to make their $9.99 a month off the network, then you know, you want TNA. But now, like you said, you'd basically only use it for A&E documentaries, or if they do a Peacock documentary or something, that's it. Or a video package on Raw if they want to talk about the background of a rivalry or something. So, yeah, and I would love to know TNA's ask. If they could get WCW, now granted it was 25 years ago, but if they could get WCW's library, I think it was $2.5 million, and then Vince had promised to buy a certain amount of sponsorship they never actually did, and that was it. What would TNA want for the tape library? I'd love to know, because it's not worth a lot. It's not.
King of the North does follow up and says, WWE buying TNA if the antitrust stuff didn't happen and rebranding it into a WWE brand. With the TNA YouTube channel, subscriber numbers, and video library actually makes sense to me with WWE's past. Well, I mean, and now WWE is so ingrained in YouTube that they almost certainly have some sort of deal with Google to get an advanced ad rate. Like, they are making more per 1,000 clicks than we do. Certainly. Absolutely. Certainly. We have a bunch of super chats and humper chats. Oh, I love this. Ricardo De Jesus says, hearing Kevin Owens giving Colt Cabana his flowers on his contribution to the Indies was wonderful to hear. Colt doesn't get enough credit where it's due, I feel. And also he gets an awful lot of very, very weird toxic hate because of his bad relationship with CM Punk. But Jimmy, this is from the Cody Rhodes podcast today, which is, I mean, listen, I mean,
shout out to Matt Cardona, Sean. You see that?
We'll talk more about that momentarily, but like Cody is, these conversations are really, really good. And I'm not surprised this one was, because Kevin Owens had one of the best interview series out there before he joined WWE when he did the high spot stuff. But Kevin Owens really credited Colt Cabana for helping him out. And then Cody credited Kevin Owens a lot for helping him out with his indie strategy. I love this. Did you get to see much of this, Jimmy?
I saw some of it. Most of these podcasts, I just don't have time to watch the whole thing. I've seen some. I thought Cody's with Brandy was actually really good, too.
They've all been really good.
Yeah, but Brandy's got a different perspective. And, and so it's interesting listening to her. You just mentioned KO when he did stuff before. Did you ever see the clip when he was telling Jimmy Jacobs about playing with action figures and he was like 17?
It's one of the best lines in interview history.
Jimmy Jacobs almost shit his pants when he said that.
It was amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, it was.
It was amazing. But so Kevin Owens called out Matt Cardona in a friendly way. And he said, I love Matt. And I want to make that clear, because a lot of the engagement accounts are leaving that out. He's like, I love Matt Cardona, but for a guy that says that he loves being on the indies, he sure talks about coming back to WWE a lot.
Yeah.
I hit up Matt Cardona, which, by the way, Kevin blamed Cody for not getting to go on Disney trips with Cody, because he says that Cody blames it on Matt Cardona and says Matt doesn't want Kevin to go. So I hit up Matt and I said, what are your on-the-record comments about Cody Rhodes telling Kevin Owens you don't want to go to Disney with him? He goes, I haven't seen the episode, just clips. I need to watch the full for context. I'll watch and get back to you. And I said, well, I prefer hasty, out of context, harsh reactions. And he said, ha, 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 not going to happen from me. So I'm doing the journalism here, Jimmy.
Good for you, the journalism. That's good.
I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best.
You know that Cody introduced Matt and Chelsea, right? You knew that.
Yeah. I did an interview with Kevin around the time of Cody coming back, and off camera, I said, hey, what do you think about Cody maybe coming back? And he goes, well, I can't say for certain that he is, but he mentioned that one of them got the other one into like the exclusive Disney club or whatever. I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
Whatever the club 34 or whatever the hell that is. No,
Disney World in Florida is hell on earth.
Well, I'll tell you what's not. And I'll tell you what's an even better club and a lot less expensive. NordVPN.com/FightfulJimmy. You don't have to have Peacock to watch this weekend's WWE Night of Champions. You can have one Netflix account. Use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Sign up for one of their subscriptions. You get a mega discount plus 4 extra months and a 30-day money-back guarantee. And you can just log into your Netflix account, change the virtual location, and you get access to Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and PLEs. It's a wonderful time. They're also doing a thing where you can get an Amazon gift card. You buy one of Nord's two-year plans. Whether you get the gift depends on the plan that you choose. Remain a NordVPN customer for 31 days and enjoy a safer and more private online experience. After 31 to 50 days, they will email you an Amazon gift card. It's like Christmas with Jimmy, guys. Find more information in their terms and conditions, nordvpn.com/Fightful. Not just that, all operating systems, all devices, even this microphone I just slammed into my own face, nordvpn.com/Fightful. They have a host of different options. And I got a lot of you saying like, yeah, but I mean, I bet it's expensive. $2.91 a month. Think about how much money you're going to save with that. And you get 4 extra free months on top of that. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Should we talk about the Night of Champions, Saudi Arabia, Iran stuff from earlier this
week? Yeah, I haven't had Saudi residents in my DMs threatening to attack me at all, Jimmy.
Really? Really?
Oh, boy. It's been bad. Thank you, Josh Morgan, for the very generous super chat, first off. He did not send a chat with this. He's just being a gentleman, I suppose. And I just want to say thank you, Josh Morgan, for that. If you have anything you want to plug or promote, I want to help you. But let's talk about it. I mean, they are slated to fly out in about 2.5 hours, Jimmy.
Yep. So, you know, on Monday, so I think everybody knows what's going on, right? So on the weekend, the U.S. bombed certain sites in Iran because they want to eradicate the threat of a nuclear bomb. Iran responded by targeting certain U.S. Military sites in the region. One of them was Qatar, which is not in Saudi Arabia, because a lot of people don't seem to know that. They think it's in Saudi Arabia. It's not, but it's a brotherly state to Saudi Arabia. For a while, I think the airspace in the UAE was blocked or something from civilian flights. It's been just a whole shit show, quite frankly. Then on Monday, I think President Trump said that there was a ceasefire, but then there wasn't a ceasefire. And then on Tuesday, there was a ceasefire, and then Iran violated the ceasefire. It's all screwed up. And so I posted on Monday on Twitter that I thought, and a lot of people agreed with me, I thought WWE should cancel Night of Champions in Riyadh and relocate it to Raw next Monday in Pittsburgh for the sake of the talent.
When I just suggested that I wanted talent to be safe, I had an awful lot of Saudi Arabia fans. First off, a number of them lying about what I had reported and what I had said.
Yep.
Saying, oh, you just hate Saudi. And I'm like, bro, this ain't got anything to do with Saudi.
Yeah, nothing at all.
It's definitely not like the situation years ago where we're talking about Jamal Khashoggi and this show happening right after that.
Right.
That was years ago. And there has been a lot of growth and a lot of change and a lot of things that, quite frankly, we never thought we would see in Saudi Arabia happening with WWE events in Saudi Arabia. Yeah. It is about the safety of the talent, completely separate of the Saudi Arabia location, because geographically where it's at. And I had some Saudi fans saying, well, an awful lot of people die in America. And I was like, guys, we're not going to act like this is the same exact thing as what we're talking about. But, listen, some of the gentlemen in my replies were not hearing it and were editorializing an awful lot.
I had people, and you know me, I don't respond to any negativity. I ignore it on social media. But yeah. I had a lot of people saying, oh, you know, there was a ceasefire, so you don't know what you're talking about. I even had people saying, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. There was no bombing. Some people actually said that. God. Now, before I give my thoughts on this whole topic of WWE going, not going, I know that you tried to reach out to WWE for comment. Did you hear anything at all?
That was a funny one, because I had people go, of course they're ignoring him. It's like, guys, how stupid are you guys at this point? Yes, they ignored me. And then they said, hey, by the way, you want this Abyss interview, Chris Park. There's some things that any company is going to answer, and there's some things that any company is not going to answer. Yep. But I still have to ask. I got to try.
Yep.
There were some people that didn't know what in an official capacity meant. I'm baffled. I really hope that by the time I die, Jimmy, that media literacy, if then wrestling, would be better. I've got no hope for it.
Oh, it's gotten worse, and it'll continue to get worse. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got no official comment outside of what we have seen on WWE Raw, which was they announced the Riyadh date still. They announced that they were still going there.
Yeah.
Talent that I spoke to throughout that period said we have not been told of any change whatsoever. We just figured they're changing things and all that. And one person on background said, well, we're monitoring it and we're obviously looking at it, but yeah.
So I try to look at it from both sides because obviously a lot of people online kind of vilified WWE for this and said, you know, all about money, all about money. I look at it from both sides. So from the WWE perspective, I get it, right? It's an easy thing for me to say, move the show. It's an easy thing for you to say, move the show. It's not that easy when you're talking about a major strategic partner like the Saudi Arabian government. Not only does WWE have this deal where they're getting like $50 million a show and they're doing the Rumble there in January, but you got the TKO involvement, right? And not just with the UFC, but don't forget the TKO signed a deal with the Saudis to launch a boxing promotion. People might have forgotten about that. And I
mean, they were in full site build mode as well. Like I've got some sources over there. Oh, that was another funny one. They were trying to claim that I acted like WWE staff was being like detained in Qatar or something. And I'm like, guys, what are we doing here? They got stuck there because the planes were held down. That's it. Mm. That's it. They're like, oh, so that's being stuck. Yeah. I was stuck at Heathrow Airport when all the internet went out after All In. Yes. It doesn't mean you got to live there now or anything. Like it's very, very obtuse stuff. Had one person that's like, oh, you think the Saudi government cares about this? Because I reported the Saudi government was still planning on this event to happen. And I'm like, they're like, that's the General Sport Authority. And I'm like, well, go Google what that's a part of because it's the government.
It is the government. Yeah.
My God.
You know, whenever somebody says the word obtuse, I think of Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, well,
it's where it pops into my head, or the movie that pops into my head.
I wish people would be less obtuse, for sure. But I think that the show is going to continue and
all that. And I will say this too, like in WWE's defense a little bit, Iran, they gave plenty of notice before they did their counterattack, and they did it to minimize civilian casualties. They did it because they felt symbolically they had to respond. But Iran doesn't want a war. Let's be serious. They don't want a war because... Sure. The U.S. will crush them. So they don't want it. They just felt they had to respond. Now, there's a couple of points, though, as to why I thought the WWE might want to look at relocating it. And one is the fact that there is a U.S. military base in Saudi Arabia, about an hour from Riyadh City. Not saying Iran would bomb it, but I'm just saying there's one there. But sure. The bigger issue, though, for me, comes back to talent relations. And remember when we talked about R-Truth, Sean? Mm-hmm. And we talked about how... Why would they cut them loose? How could they be so removed from the trenches that they don't understand the importance of a positive work environment and a positive culture and having people in your locker room that create positive morale? WWE figured it out with R-Truth. They figured it out later than they should have, but they figured it out and they brought him back. And to me, this was kind of another example of that. I'm sure, and you've talked to talent, I'm sure that there are people nervous about the idea of going there, especially when you're hearing all this conflicting stuff. Is there a ceasefire? Is there not a ceasefire? Iran violated it. Israel violated it. I'm sure there are people nervous. And so I thought, is the sky going to fall for this company if you move this one show? Is that going to kill your whole relationship with the Saudi Arabian government if you kill this one show? But I understand for the reasons I've outlined why they won't, unless the U.S. government forces them to. But I don't know. I feel like WWE has lost a lot of goodwill over the last year or so with fans.
Sure.
And I feel like something like this would go a long way towards repairing that. But
wouldn't go well with the Saudi fans. That much I learned.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess not.
Mr. Straight Fire says, what the hell was up with Bron Breakker growling and barking at Saxton? This gave Butch cartoony level vibe with them possibly trying to actually we'll address that one. Yeah, that was just weird to me. Like, Bron Breakker doesn't need that. He's such an undeniable talent. And he says, with them possibly trying to minimize cross pops with main event appearances and lazy finishes, could Vince be in Triple H's ears? I would be shocked if anything that Vince McMahon suggests to anyone makes it through at this point. There is zero benefit to staying on Vince's good side anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously, Stephanie, the Nick Khan podcast, it's her dad. So obviously, she talked very highly of Vince. Nick Khan did too. they still think very highly of him. Hunter, I'm sure, does too, but I agree. There's no reason. And I'm sure if they have a family barbecue, Vince is probably, I'm sure, probably telling Hunter, I don't like this, I don't like that. You got logos on the ring canvas, whatever. But
did you see the latest Karrion Kross conspiracy theory?
No, but he's getting a PLE match. Good for him.
He is getting a PLE match. I'm very happy about that. I've been a proponent forever. So listen, there's going to be a lot of his detractors that pretend the guy can't work at all. I've watched plenty of his matches that have been solid. Love the Bloodsport match with Harry Smith. But like, I watch Main Event. I'm the guy, the one person who still watches it. And I guess people found one drop kick he took where he didn't back bump, and they're just convinced he doesn't back bump at all. And I'm like, you guys have not been watching this guy's matches. It's just conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory.
Watch watch the Honky Tonk Man deliver the shake, rattle, and roll on the independent circuit.
Yes. Watch that. Oh, I saw.
Have you seen that?
So yeah. I got.
That's one. How you avoid a bump.
Here's a nice message I got from a Saudi fan. After me announcing the El Grande Americano injury, one that translates to "May you be next." That's what I'm getting. Oh yeah, all
wow.
day.
Wow.
All day, every day, man. My DMs are just full of threats from Saudi fans right now. And then,
so yeah, they think.
Here was the good one, Jimmy. Here was the good one. One guy said, "We found all your racist tweets," and it was literally just a big image of every tweet I'd ever put out that had Saudi in it, including one where I said the Saudi Arabia crowd is chanting "Holy shit" at this Tower of Doom.
Wow!
And we have a Fightful Select update on the WWE Saudi roster.
Wow. Right. So they really believe that us saying reschedule the show is because they think that we hate Saudis, basically.
Or at least they're pretending to, but it's hard for me to believe. It's nothing to do with this point. I've explained it to a number of those fans, and I just want to make this clear. I've had a number of very reasonable Saudi fans reach out to me and say, these guys do not represent all of us, but there's just a lot of people that are very emotional about this because we don't get these events nearly as much as you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny because they're like, "Oh, well, don't have any events in America." I'm like, I don't give a shit. Like, what do I care? Like, have them in Mexico, have them in Canada, have them in England. I don't care. Actually, yeah, go over to Europe and do all the shows over there so I can be done with work at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
Please, for the love of God. Yeah. Chris Moore says, with how popular Lucha Libre is current day, do you think Andrade would have better prospects if he stayed masked? No, that's a handsome son of a bitch. Taking off that mask was a good idea. Very good idea. I think that he's doing all right. He's doing all right for himself. Could he be booked better? Yes, Jimmy. But I think that, maybe had he lost his mask in WWE at some point, maybe, but I also understand the motivation of wanting to do it on your own terms. Yeah.
Am I chopping up or are you chopping up? Because you just went completely out to launch on my end.
I don't know. We'll ask the audience.
Yeah.
We'll ask the audience who did.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Let me say this with Andrade. Obviously when you're talking about an American television wrestling audience, he's got limitations when it comes to that audience. And I think given those limitations, he's done really well. I mean, he's not a great promo.
Yeah.
But he's good in the ring. And, what do you think about what's happening with Rey Fénix? Because Penta's, getting lots of attention on Raw. Rey Fénix, it feels like ever since Mania when he had to step in and...
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And, lose on the Mania show. It feels like he struggled a little bit, and people are just kind of waiting for Lucha Bros back together.
It's you being choppy. Yeah, I think that it is going to come down to how they are booked as a team, because you're starting to see the Penta push die out a little bit. And that's okay. They wanted to create those two and market them, but Rey Fénix ain't won in quite a while. Like he hasn't done much of anything, but You know, I saw, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, they should have stayed in AEW. They're going to make a lot of money in WWE just off merchandising and all
that.
Oh,
yeah.
It's still, sure, yeah. We're still like 6 months in. It's a TBD for me. It's still a TBD. Mm-hmm. Can't put Cody's pot over with KO Moore. Sean, how in the weeds were you during the time Cody made his list and the workings around his indie run? Well, I didn't know Cody then or KO then, but I was in the weeds covering the indie run. In fact, that's one of the big things that we were doing. We were covering independent wrestling as much as any wrestling website there was at that point. And Cody leaving. So Cody left WWE right around the time we were launching Fightful. So his indie run started, I want to say almost concurrently with that, because he left in like, I want to say spring of 2016. And honestly, that year was like a big year. Like Barrett left on his own. Jack Swagger left on his own. Ryback left on his own. There were a lot of people, and Cody was the one that really, really, really made it on the indies to that level. But yeah, we were pretty deep into it then, and it was a very big buzzworthy thing that Cody was making this list and going out there. And then I want to say it was like maybe a month after Fightful launched, he faced Zack Sabre Jr. at Evolve, and here we are now. Was the last time you guys were invested in the TNT title? I find it brutal that both Garcia and Cole will put in multis instead of actual feuds. They have not booked this title very well at all, Jimmy. Daniel Garcia winning it was a time, but when's the last time you were invested in it?
Probably when Daniel Garcia won it.
Yeah.
So, and you know what's interesting about him is there was so much buzz around him. Is he going to resign with AEW? You know, is he going to go to WWE? There's a lot of buzz around him. And I feel like now, and I don't know if this is AEW giving him this direction or if this is him doing it on his own, he's way too focused on that dance. Like the guy, I don't feel like
he didn't want to do the dance. He didn't want to do it for a long time.
Yeah. Like, okay.
I think he was pressured into it.
Okay.
But he was fine with Mina Shirakawa taking it and using it, is what he told me.
Yeah. I feel like since he won the title, he just coming off all of the buzz about he resigned with the company and all of that.
Yeah.
I just feel like the shine's been taken off of him. And the title run hasn't really done anything for him, I don't think.
Dave Koss says, sad about Gable's injury, praying El Grande is okay. He's injured. Fightful Select reported it today. Dave Koss said, what can we expect from Ibushi in-ring right now? So without going into too much detail, I just want to make it clear. It's incredible and a miracle this guy can stay in the kind of shape that he's in, much less that he can still wrestle. I am managing expectations. I know a lot of people were like, well, why the hell is he facing Trent? And I'm sitting there saying, why the hell would he not face Trent? He's had 7 matches since the start of last year. Why would you not put him in there with a ring veteran who knows the American style and the Japanese style? But, like, let's be clear. A year and a half ago, Kota Ibushi had one of the worst pro wrestling matches I have ever seen in my life. And he did it against Marufuji, which is almost impressive that you could have a match that bad against Marufuji. But I'm managing expectations. I am not expecting to see 2021 Kota Ibushi, even. This guy has been through a lot physically. I don't know if he'll ever quite be the same.
He looks like he's in better physical shape again.
He is. He looks it.
Because when he had that last run, remember he was in the multi-man match? My memory escapes me now, but he was in a multi-man match, and he looked, for his standards, he looked out of shape.
Yeah, and I mean, he was going through a lot, to be clear.
Yeah, of course.
He was going through an insane amount.
Yeah.
But that match was hilarious anyway. But do you think Liv's injury will delay Finn turning on Dominic eventually for the IC title? I don't know if it delays it, but it's adjusted plans all the way up and down the card. Like, this is one where one domino fell and it went off multiple ways because they leaned on her so much. And it's unfortunate. But I do think it will delay it a little bit. I do.
What's the story on Dom being off Night of Champions?
And he's just sidelined with an injury. I don't know how serious it is, though.
Okay.
Going to All In, just got my ticket for the first show in person since Cyber Sunday in Phoenix. Any advice when going? If you want to get merch, plan ahead. Make sure your travel situation is absolutely planned ahead. Make sure you've got that all taken care of. The StarCast thing is going to be something that you want to go to if you are into Q&As and signings and pictures and all that stuff. It's in Arlington, so it's the baseball stadium. It's a good area. There's plenty of good food around there. But just plan your travel accordingly. That's what I'll say.
Who's managing our YouTube chat?
Me. Why?
Oh, is it you? So did you post drink
that's
water?
Not, that's not me. That's probably Kate, I would imagine.
Okay. Because that's also a good point. Yeah, drink water.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, drink water.
It's AEW. Dave, it's gonna be a 13-hour show. So drink water.
Dave Koss says, do you think it's possible the Women's Gauntlet is the only women's match on All In outside of Mercedes Toni? Because that would be a real shame. I do think that'd be a real shame. I think that's a bad idea. I wouldn't do that. I think they'll end up with three. And then a moment, another women's moment on the show.
You mean three plus the gauntlet or three including the gauntlet?
Three including the gauntlet.
I see.
Kim Gray, I'm not going to post your message up there because it's a story I'm working on and I'm going to post on Fightful Select today. But I'll say this, you were right. That person has told that to other people. Jay Palmer says, any news on 2 hour SmackDown? People in the company expect it to happen. And I can't wait for it to happen. But what I hate, Jimmy, is you see people going, okay, but when you don't see Los Garza on TV, don't complain. No, fuck that. They can still book them. Don't use that as an excuse for not good TV, because they're already not booking good TV on 3 hour stuff. Come on. Hold the bookers accountable. Damn it.
Isn't it slated for next month? Because there's a new show debuting in August on USA on Friday nights at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I think SmackDown is moving to 2 hours next month in July. And then by August, there's a new show, I think called The Rainmaker or something. There's a new show coming on at 10 o'clock on Friday nights. They want to use SmackDown as the lead-in for it, right?
WWE jobbing out to Okada. You hate to see it.
Right.
Sean, any kind of guesses on the MMA media deal? Do you think they stay under the ESPN deal, or do they follow WWE to Netflix in some capacity? So that would require a monster investment from Netflix. I can't see Netflix doing a paywall behind their paywall, but I can see them increasing their prices. So the current ESPN UFC deal is the ESPN broadcast the UFC fights, of which UFC has truly turned into the most phone it in company that I have ever seen. I have not watched a full UFC card since the pandemic started. I have never watched more than one UFC Apex fight. I am the most casual MMA fan because UFC stopped caring. Their pay-per-views are now behind a paywall, and they're $80. Get NordVPN.com/Fightful. They are not selling the number of pay-per-views they used to sell because they aren't putting the same care into the company. People have understood the quality is lower. What I would personally love to see, Jimmy, is like a broadcast company or a cable company be like, let's turn this into like a cultural event, like a thing where when a UFC big numbered event is on, everybody has people over to their houses because they can afford to. Everybody tunes in and watches it, all that stuff. And maybe they get rid of all the paywall situation. But I can tell you guys something as a guy who has a paywall. There aren't a lot of companies that are open to doing that. If a company came along and offered Fightful, for example, probably I'd say a 25 to 30% increase based on what we are getting now with a 10-year contract and says, okay, just post all your paywalled news on Fightful and make us the sponsor. Well, we'd do that. But you got to have a long-term commitment on that if you're going to cannibalize the paywall that you've always had, Jimmy. I'm interested in what you think about this.
In terms of UFC and Netflix and all that stuff? Is that what you mean?
Just in general, and what you think that the UFC media deal will be.
I mean, obviously they're going to go, I think Netflix is what they want, but they're looking for an increase. They already make a shit ton off ESPN. ESPN is able to pay them a shit ton because they get money back in subscriptions. Is Netflix going to get that? Maybe they'll look at, oh, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson did X number of views, but that was a one-off with Mike Tyson. When you're doing a UFC every month, are you going to be able to maintain those kinds of numbers? I don't know. I'm not convinced. The issue with UFC, in my opinion, and I want to ask you about John Jones in a minute, But the issue with UFC, in my opinion, is it's a star-driven business, just like wrestling. And what's the last, who's the last legitimate box office attraction that they've generated in that company? Legitimate box office attraction. Because if you go back 10, 20 years ago, you had Conor McGregor, you had GSP, you had Ronda Rousey, you had John Jones, you throw him in there, you had Daniel Cormier, you had who else? If you go back
even further, Brock was even coming back.
Brock. Like they had all of these legitimate, and I would even put Amanda Nunes in there, even though Ronda Rousey paved the way. There was all of these legitimate box office attractions. They got no one. Like, who do they got? I wouldn't even call Alice Pereira one. And he's probably maybe one of their most, who do they got now? There's nobody.
Nobody as a big major draw.
Nobody.
And they did it to themselves, Jimmy. They did it to themselves with automatic rematches. With, oh, okay, Colby Covington won another one, so let's just give him a title shot. Rewarding inactivity. They greed is going to be the undoing in that situation. They don't pay the fighters fairly.
Yeah.
The fighters don't want to fight for less than a top fight because it's the only way they're going to make incredible money. Yeah. It's greed is going to be their undoing.
It's been tough. And I don't – look – I'll be just very frank. I mean, they have a lot of really quality Eastern European fighters that are dominating in that company. And these guys don't want to learn English. You know what I mean? They're not the most charismatic guys. They can't cut a promo. That stuff is so important. I don't like if I was Dana White, I'd be telling these guys, you're going to learn English. Like if you want to fight in my company and make a lot of money, you're going to learn English.
I don't give a shit about that.
But UFC should, because nobody is a draw now, Sean. Nobody is a draw.
I mean, yeah, but that's UFC's fault. The fighters not speaking English ain't got anything to do with that. They suck at promoting fighters.
They suck at
promoting fights now.
It would help if you had a guy that could sell a fight. If you had a fighter that could sell a fight.
Okay, but at the same time, how often did people say that about Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, right? They keep in mind, this is the UFC's own undoing. This is even when they were good at it, Jimmy. How long did Vince McMahon want a Mighty Mouse character in pro wrestling?
Yeah,
remember that?
Cejudo, right? He was going after Cejudo?
He wanted a Mighty Mouse character. Like, he loved the idea of a small guy that could just beat up everybody, which is funny because he had Taz and he wasted him. But he actually recruited Henry Cejudo for that. Henry Cejudo passed him up and then went to UFC and feuded with a guy whose honest to God nickname was Mighty Mouse. And the UFC valued him so little that they traded him. They found a way to trade an independent contractor. And now, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson markets himself. And do you know what Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson is doing now, Jimmy?
No idea.
He is one of the most successful MMA streamers in existence. 1.35 million subscribers on YouTube. Tune in to watch him talk.
I had no
idea. At any given time, he did a video on Ilia Topuria the other day. 163,000 views.
I think
incredible numbers.
I think, in my opinion, there's two things in MMA that make you a star. The first thing is you go on a run, like Anderson Silva,
sure,
like Ronda Rousey. You go on a run. That's number one. Number two, characters and promos. And I know it's not wrestling and it's not fake and it's legitimate sport. Conor McGregor. If not for the fact that he was Conor McGregor, and I know that he went on a run and he, you know, won a lot of big fights. But if Conor McGregor was Alex Pereira, would he have become Conor McGregor? No freaking way. No freaking way. Characters and promos and going on a run makes you start in MMA. That's how
I have edited hundreds of MMA interviews. We had really, really great MMA coverage people, Shaq and James Lynch and Showdown Joe. I interviewed hundreds of MMA fighters myself. Let me give advice to any MMA fighter. We don't give a fuck how your training camp went. We don't care that it went really great. You feel great. You're in the best shape of your life. We get it. Good. You're saying the same thing that every fighter has said ever.
And the other thing, whenever Rogan or somebody would say, what's next for you? They say, oh, I don't know. Whatever the UFC, whatever Dana, call somebody out. Call somebody out. You see him sitting at front row ringside, you freaking go to him and call him out.
Let me tell you.
There's another perfect example of a guy that got
biggest
opportunity
biggest,
to talk. Another perfect
biggest example. Mistake in Fightful history besides not talking to Meta whenever there was actual humans there. not paying Chael Sonnen the amount that he quoted us. Because looking back, Jimmy, it would have been a very good investment.
You remember?
I think.
Do you remember how much?
I think it was 50K, wasn't it?
No, it was a flat rate per podcast.
Was it? I thought it was like a 50K per year thing.
No, it was a flat rate per podcast. And it was, I said to his manager, and Chael was cool. I talked to Chael a few times. Chael was cool. But I talked to his manager and I said, with all due respect, I don't know how I make that back.
Sure. And we were in our infancy. Like, listen, there's a lot of stuff that we're still not great at. SEO and general like manipulation of traffic and things like that. We got to work on that. And a lot of our social media things. But like back then, we certainly couldn't have. But also, we didn't see the repurposing of content take off like the way that it has.
Sure. There was no shorts back then and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
exactly. Like now you can go back and repurpose I can repurpose an interview from 10 years ago and make some money off of it.
And people will think that you just did it.
Well, I mean, that's why I always try to tell our team, please clarify, please clarify. Mm-hmm. James Stallings to show so happy for Shotzi making the most of getting released. Going back and forth with Cardona is awesome. They are building a story on social media. They're very smart. I sent
the indie god. The indie god. Yeah.
I sent her the idea to do Shotzi True Long Island Story, Jimmy. And I was like, hey, you should probably get this for your signings, like, because you know you can't travel with a tank everywhere, like an old toy tank.
She could get an inflatable.
That's what I sent to her.
I was like,
it's easy to travel in. Like, you should do that. It'd be great.
Kenny G, go ahead and send it. I'll be around for a bit.
Okay, cool. Percentage you think Punk beats Cena? I'm going to say about 15%.
One.
Check out my bookie, guys, and bet with the code FIGHTFUL. We'd like for them to renew that deal after this trial.
Thumbnail's the pipe bomb, should we at least talk about it since that's the thumbnail?
We certainly will be in a moment. Any idea what the plan is for Hurt Syndicate at all in? I do not know. And it says, do you think you'll defend the titles or be in the Casino Gauntlet match? I think it's a disservice to the tag team titles to not defend them at this show, Jimmy.
Sure.
But they have not done a good job of getting other tag teams over.
They still got 2 weeks. And so I'm sure it'll be added to the show. Last I looked, I think there's like, 4 matches? Maybe 3 matches in the 2 gauntlets, maybe. So
I'd have Kevin Knight and Speedball win matches both weeks up until that, and I would do them.
Yeah, I mean, a lot can get done in 2 weeks, so they still got time for it.
Terry Allen Jr. says, a beach AEW WWE event could attempt. I think what he's talking about is the beach-themed shows. I wish AEW and WWE would both, or either one of them, do a legit beach themed show with a set. Like, I love the Bash the Beach set.
Yeah.
I loved when they did like the pool.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell that was.
Ric Flair went. Yeah. What was the one when Jericho went in the orange juice?
Cause the mimosa.
Cause that kind of reminds me a bit of, I mean, SummerSlam is the closest WWE is going to get, right? Yeah. You'll have Brock giving an F5 to a shark in a promo.
So, Cool Fool says, is there a reason why Natty is not getting to use the gimmick she used in NWA and GCW? Man, Jimmy, they have neutered her character. Like, you see the promos she cuts for Bloodsport and NWA and Booker T, and they're all good. And she's full of confidence, and she feels like a threat. And then they get her on WWE TV, and she's like, don't you forget, Sheamus, how great you are. And I'm like, well, how do you not see what this woman can do?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like they want to do something with her and Maxine, but it's not, it's start and stop.
Here's the funny thing, Jimmy. They teamed together in March or in April, and they act like WWE acts like they have never teamed up. Like, oh, well, we've got to ease into this. Y'all already teamed together in a top contendership match in April. Mm-hmm. Just shit or get off the pot with these two. For the love of God, how's a mid talent like JC? First off, I'm gonna bury this just so you know. Who has been on NXT forever, getting an NXT title match in Evolution and not Blake Monroe. How do you feel Blake Monroe will find her way into Evolution triple threat? I do think she will, but JC Jane is not a mid talent in my estimation. I've been calling for her to get called up to the main roster for a long time. But at that same thing, like, why would they just have somebody who just came into the company do that as well? JC Jane has been a glue of this division for a very long time. I think she's very slept on. I think she is great on TV. I am not here for JC Jane slander at all, Jimmy. I don't know about you.
You have put her over a lot going back months. So I feel you.
Yeah. Dave Cost says, surprised McAfee didn't get burned out sooner. Always impressed me. He goes to Indy, Raw, Indy. Do you think he's done? Is there anyone more polarizing to IWC in terms of love and hate, in your opinion? Well, Cross lately has been polarizing because there's a whole bunch of people that love him and a whole bunch of people that swear he can't work.
There's no question Mercedes is the most polarizing.
Yeah, Mercedes, for sure. Mean, listen, and there's a lot of gender and racial elements there too as to why I think she gets a lot of the hate that she
creative control, Sean.
Yeah, which is, oh my God, I will say this.
Presser. Tony's got to win the title or titles or whatever. She's got to win. Tony's got to win. Nobody wants to see Mercedes beat Tony.
So here's my pitch. First off, here's my pitch. I think that happens, and I think one by one she loses her titles.
Omega, that happened with Omega too. Remember when he had multiple titles?
And it becomes the story. And to me, she's going to have great matches for the rest of her career. What you want is great stories, memorable stories, and I think she's smart enough there. So the funny thing about the McAfee deal. I like Pat personally and professionally. I'm entertained by him. But there were people when I talked about Corey Graves, and you can go back and look at our reporting from then on FightfulSelect.com, which has more updates today. They said, listen, he's going to end up back on Raw or SmackDown by the summer anyway. So what's it matter? That's what they said. They're like, somebody's going to get hurt, burned out, personal thing, family thing. He's going to be back on the show. That's going to be the reality of the situation, mm-hmm. And he is.
When does college football start?
In like a month and a half.
And he'll be doing that.
What's with AEW not announcing stuff for Dynamite till the night before? I feel like they could sell more tickets if stuff was announced earlier. They do sometimes, but they just had 2 weeks of four-hour shows and then 1 week of a Mexico show with 2.5 hours sandwiched between them announcing All In. So I'm willing to give them that excuse here. Jimmy, any thoughts on that?
I mean, that used to be a gripe going back years with them. I mean, how many times did we see AEW fans say, I went to the show, my kid loves Darby. They had Darby on like a promo, and then Darby wasn't there. I mean,
it got really bad with WWE in the Vince era. Got really bad.
Yeah, I mean, at least now you know, right? Raw's got these guys. SmackDown's got these guys. You know. Right. And with AEW, you don't always know. And I can understand, especially if you go there to see a particular favorite and they're not on the card. I can understand. But, I agree with what you said at the same time. And they've been busy. They've had a lot going on.
We have 5 more super chats, humper chats. Get them in if you all can. New Lack City says, what's up, guys? This goes for AEW too, because they were guilty of it in the past. With SmackDown going 2 hours, would it be smart for WWE fans to keep wishing for WWE to sign all these AEW people? Need to utilize their actual talent better now. First off, I don't think they utilize the time that they have to the maximum of their ability. But you know, WWE does have a program called Main Event that they never promote, push, utilize, or anything. Make that mean something. Put some women's tag team matches on there and say, oh, they've been very successful on Main Event. Mm-hmm. Send your talent to LA. I mean, Natalya's been going to Evolve and working. Utilize the hours that you have. But I think both rosters are right about where they need to be, Jimmy. If I were WWE, I would probably stop signing so much recruit talent and pare that down into more surefire hits. But any thoughts for you, Jimmy?
Back in the day, how many times did we see always mid-level, never main event? How many times did we see a mid-level angle start or get furthered on Sunday Night Heat? And then on Raw, they would show a clip and they would have like the Sunday Night Heat logo on the screen. So you knew where it happened. They could very easily do that. You know, I mean, we've seen the clips on social media of Karrion Kross, his music hits on Main Event, the crowd pops, right?
Yeah.
But then on Raw, they don't say shit, except you'll see him backstage with Sammy. And when he appears on screen, the crowd pops. Like, why not use those shows to further or start mid-level feuds? And then you continue it on TV after that.
Yeah.
So
use the hours that you have.
A 3-hour SmackDown has been a very tough watch. It's been a very difficult watch. And so going to 2 hours is going to be a welcome change.
Are you guys afraid of TKO turning into WWE or turning WWE into UFC Part 2? UFC stopped caring about their fans, and especially their own fighters started focusing on the company name, profit, sponsors, and adding content and quality as stars dwindled. So it's funny you mentioned that. I think they did that under Vince. WWE badly didn't want anybody to be bigger than the brand, and as a result, it made the brand less big. Now, I think Triple H, Nick Khan, all these people understand that individuals are the draw, and when individuals become the draw, then the brand also becomes the draw. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, as they say. But I'll tell you what, nobody is going to buy a Topps WWE card with a WWE logo on it. They're going to buy the ones with Cody Rhodes on it.
Yeah, and unless it's a fake Logan Paul card, maybe.
Good on him for spotting that.
Yeah. I noticed he was talking to his buddy there. He does a podcast with to kind of confirm it. But You know what? Look, the talent, I'm sure, understands that they're essentially cogs in the wheel. And that's how it is in WWE, and that's how it's always been in WWE. And if somebody gets released, if somebody gets hurt, they pull that cog out, they put a new cog in. That's how they've always treated it. But the reality is, are you getting $1 billion a year deal with streaming or USA or whoever, if not for the talent? You're not. And that's why, again, going back to the R-Truth thing, I thought it was so foolish of them to let a guy loose who is so big for company morale and for the work environment, because you're nothing without your talent. Again, they figured it out, but they shouldn't have figured it out too late. They should have known better. I agree with everything that you said, but the thing is, in WWE, business is always going to come first. It's always going to come down to dollars and cents. They're always going to look at every talent as, what have you done for me lately kind of thing. But without the talent, those deals just aren't there. They don't exist. That's how it is. Did you see FanFest or Fanatic Fest? All these massive lines for Rhea Ripley and for everybody else, and they're getting paid whatever they're getting paid as a company for those. Like, you're not doing that. What are you going to do? You're going to have Nick Khan and Ari Emanuel and Mark Shapiro sitting up there. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody ever asks me if I've met the WWE logo, but they ask me if I've met Rhea Ripley.
Right.
Kenny G plays some saxophone for us and says, hey, Jimmy, will you be at All In? What's your favorite? What's your opinion on WWE's faction? Who's your favorite and least favorite?
So I avoid downtown Toronto the best that I can. Do you mean Dallas? Or are you talking Toronto? Because
let's answer either one of them, because I will be at All Out.
Okay, yeah, because I'm most definitely not going to Texas, and I'm probably not going to Toronto either, because downtown Toronto sucks. So I probably won't be there. In terms of WWE factions, I like the potential of the Seth Rollins faction, which they have yet to give a name.
Oracle is what they're going to be called.
The Oracle. Okay. I like the potential of it, but I still don't know what the point's supposed to be. I don't know what the goal is. I know that obviously Bron Breakker is going to be the Dave Bautista of that group. It's clear as day. He's going to be the Dave Bautista of that group, and he's going to end up on a big babyface run by himself and get over strong. I love Kevin Owens putting over the fake tan, or maybe not putting over the fake tan.
Barry said he should be
arrested. Barry's the fake tan. Yeah.
Bron Breakker should be arrested.
But you know,
they did that interview like 20 minutes from my house in Frankfort, Kentucky.
I saw you. And then you mentioned the Miss Elizabeth thing. I saw that.
I'm going to go to it like maybe Thursday or Friday. I think my wife and I are going to go to it.
And still there?
It's going to be there for like another year and a half. It's like a two-year exhibit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I like the potential of the Rollins faction, but I don't know what their motivation is, because they're just not clear enough about it.
Jay Polanco says, Jimmy, Jimmy, UFC switched up and made it more about the brand than stars. That's by design. Canelo was a huge star before his English improved because they promoted him. Well, I think that's why UFC is not as big as it was. Like, it's not. It's just not.
And you got to remember, Canelo was a huge star, number one, because he dominated every fight. You don't become a huge star because you win some, lose some. He became a huge star because he dominated every fight, and because the Mexican, you know, audience loved him. And let's be frank, Canelo is a white guy with red hair who's Hispanic, and that was intriguing, I think, to American and Canadian audiences. But if you don't win, it doesn't really make a difference. Canelo learned English for a reason, Sean. He did it for a reason, because he wanted to become a bigger draw in the U.S. That's just how it was.
I mean, Floyd Mayweather never learned how to read, and he did all right. Ryan says, any updates on The Righteous? Oh, my God. I saw the funniest argument, Jimmy. People were saying, Stevie Wonder versus R. Kelly, who's better? And they're like, Stevie Wonder couldn't see and plays 50 instruments. R. Kelly can see and he can't even read.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan says, any update on the Righteous? Where do you see them landing soon? Has seen speculation they're WWE bound as a part of a new cross faction. Unfortunately, I think a cross faction like that would go nowhere. I think they already don't do much with the Wyatt family.
Yes.
So I think that is a little bit too much in the same wheelhouse. But
the Wyatts have really struggled. It's been a really hard, tough go for them.
I think they need to pursue the indies and try to really make a mark there. I think that would be a very good idea.
Did you see the clip of Cena getting a little upset with a guy filming him backstage at, I think it might've been Fanatic Fest. And then when, yeah, so Cena got upset. He, in a nice way, I guess, but he got upset at a guy filming him backstage when he was about to go out. And Cena walked up to the guy and he goes, if you're going to take video, I love consent. I'm a big fan of consent. And then Cena walked away and then came back because he, I guess in that moment, felt bad about it, came back and apologized. While Cena's talking to the guy, Kevin Hart comes up. This is backstage. And taps Cena on the shoulder and Cena turns around almost like, what the fuck does this guy want?
Yeah.
And then he sees it's Kevin Hart. So then he like grabs him, picks him up in a bear hug. But
Kevin Hart doing more for the Cody Cena program than The Rock has been.
Yes. Go back and look at that. That was because Cena is very good at dealing with.
Cena's a gentleman.
Yeah. He's very good at dealing with if somebody does something that he doesn't like, or he thinks is crossing the line, he's really good at how he deals with it, but he clearly wasn't digging it, but he was cool in how he dealt with it.
I gotta get better at that myself. Mike says,
yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And Pac's injury. I was just told by AEW officials, they expected him out a while at that point. I don't know how long a while is, but it looked like he was going to sideline him for a while. Who do you think was the most energetic commentator? West, Styles, Morrow, or McAfee? Don West is my all-time favorite color commentator. It is 1A, 1B, Bobby Heenan and Don West. So I'm going Don West.
Well, he said most energetic. Now, Don West was good, especially when he did the merch sales and stuff like that.
Yes.
But I'm going to go with McAfee just because McAfee standing on the table, dancing to Shinsuke's music. I don't know if I've ever seen another color guy do that. So I'll go with McAfee.
I'm Bandito size meat. Normus says, just finished a lunch date with the Lash Legend looking like it went well enough. I'm invited to a hotel pool party. Promo code Fightful.
Blue Chew, promo code Fightful. Good for you, bud.
With Juice back soon, any word on Jay White? I've been trying to nail this one down a while. It's just I don't think that he's going to be back soon. Unless the injury isn't as bad as I thought. But I'll nail this one down this week. Does Netflix have... But from what I understood, he was... Like, there was more than met the eye there. Does Netflix have any input with the promos written for Raw in the same way they have input, scripts, dialogue for other content? I'm sure if they wanted some sort of cohesiveness or something, they could make it happen.
Sure.
But they're not writing the terminology for these promos.
Yeah, they're licensing the content, but it's probably no different than, say, the Muhammad Hassan stuff, right? Where USA wanted them to wrap it up. It's probably similar to that. Yeah. If they see content they don't like, I'm sure they'll let them know.
Guys, that's all we got. FightfulSelect.com is going to have a bunch of news today, as every day.
I want to ask you something before we wrap up.
Oh, we got to talk about the pipe bomb, too. Let's talk about the pipe bomb.
Okay, shit. Okay.
What'd you think of it?
We'll talk about the pipe bomb. The only thing I didn't like about it was I didn't like CM Punk having to play dead for 6 minutes.
It's what did it for me. That's what made me be like, what are we doing here? And I said, boy, you can really tell WWE's ringside doctor sued him, huh?
Nice.
Because Chris Amon's like, all right, let's just hear what Cena has to say.
Yeah, that to me was a little bit much that Punk had to play dead for 6 minutes and Cena's 10 feet away from him. But I will say that I thought the promo is the best thing Cena's done as a heel up to this point, because up until now, he's been a guy pretending to be a heel, especially when you see so many interviews with him playing like the real nice guy Cena, and you see so much footage from conventions and going on Colbert and all this stuff being nice guy Cena. He came off like he's pretending to be a bad guy. So that was refreshing. But I have a question for you, Sean.
Well, I mean, sorry, let me stop that.
Yep.
If he said that his only issue is with WWE fans, I'd be like, all right, cool. That's why he's not a jerk to everybody else.
Okay. But here's my question. This has to do with internet theory. Sean. Internet theory. So Cena mentions Claudio. He mentions Nick Nemeth, and he mentions Matt Cardona, right? So the internet was on fire. Claudio's initials are CC. The original pipe bomb had Colt Cabana in it. Nick Nemeth, Matt Cardona. We both know of a Nick and Matt in AEW.
Sure.
The theory is, were those intentional Easter eggs, or was it just Cena calling out friends of his from years past?
Either way, it would have made a lot more sense for him to just go, "Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?"
Yes, it would have been.
That no matter been what the answer is,
right?
It would have been a better, more like digging thing. People would have went, "Oh my God!"
Right. More than they did.
If he even said, "Hey, Scotty Goldman, how you doing?" Like his WWE name.
Right. Yeah, because
it would have made a lot more sense.
In years past, Cena has pretty publicly been friendly with all three of those guys, with Dolph Ziggler and Cardona. And I think him and Claudio and Seth Rollins are in a coffee text group. Rollins said that in an interview. The three of them are in a coffee text group. So obviously he's buddies with these guys. And that's why I wondered, is it an Easter egg thing? Or did he just mention names from the past and people spun it because they had a narrative that they wanted it to fit?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. I thought the promo was good. I feel bad for Cena and Cody. And this is a me assuming thing, not a me reporting thing, but it really seems like The Rock just peaced out when he didn't get his way. And I was like, my work here is done. And then they're like, well, what the hell now? And then there's no Travis Scott to follow up on whatever the hell that was. So
do you think Cody wins at SummerSlam?
Yes.
And Cena's babyface run then goes for whatever's left in the year, 5 months, whatever it is, 4 months.
Yeah.
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 Last thing I got for you. Where do you rank John Jones in terms of all-time greats in MMA?
In the cage, number one. Outside the cage, somewhere near 500,000th. I would say I was a big John Jones fan. So I would honestly like to do a full podcast on it. But like I was the first time I heard of him, I was really, really deep. I thought I was going to be a full-time MMA coverage guy. Yep. That's how deep in MMA I was. And it was, I'll never forget, spring of 2018, Jimmy. And I would read all the results. And I mean, every result that got posted from every MMA fight in the country. And it was April, May of 2008. And I go, how many John Joneses are there in the Northeast? It was him fighting every week for 4 weeks straight and winning to start his career. He was in the UFC 3 months after that. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God. Then the Stefan Bonner fight made me a believer. He did a double overhook suplex, a German suplex, a spinning back elbow that pro wrestling has since adopted. He is the reason why Andrade and Chris Jericho use that as an effective maneuver now, because he brought it into a lot of the pro wrestling MMA lexicon. He was an unbelievable pro fighter and an unbelievably bad person. Nobody, and nobody is perfect. I want to make that clear. Nobody is perfect and nobody should be above, you know, apology. I am not a cancel this person forever. Mm-hmm. If Hulk Hogan came out and really said, guys, you know, I'm really sorry about all that, I would defer to people who had the right to be offended over that thing. John Jones has fucked up so many times. It is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Hit and runs on pregnant women, domestic situations, threatening people. It is so unfortunate to see what has happened. And then wasting the careers of other people, not just himself.
It's prime years of his own career.
Prime years of his own career and life.
I watched the body cam footage from this latest incident.
Insane.
And I know his lawyer is saying that wasn't him on the phone. That freaking sounded like him on the phone to me.
Yep.
But anyway, to me, my issue with John Jones, so I understand what you're saying about in the cage, because he was young and he beat all these legends and he beat them all decisively, right? My issue with him in the cage, and he's one of the greats, but the reason I can't consider him the greatest is because he got popped for PEDs a bunch.
Sure.
And because he ducked Tom Aspinall. Like, to me, there's no question that he did not want to fight Tom Aspinall. and he ducked him. And I even saw a couple of interviews where he would be asked about Tom Aspinall. One of them, he walked out of the interview when he was asked about him.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, he very clearly ducked him. And so for that reason, like I look, call me biased because he's Canadian. George St. Pierre is the GOAT in my eyes. Sure. Two division champion, dominant fighter, class act outside the cage, company brand ambassador. I saw he did aerial show live at Fanatic Fest. Even he was his guest. GSP to me is the GOAT.
I would have loved if they had that Khabib fight. Like he said that he was open.
To me,
complete dominance is something that is important. And he did lose to Matt Hughes, which he avenged that loss. He avenged the Matt Serra loss. So I am completely on board with that decision. Demetrius Maddie Mouse Johnson is up there for me. Anderson Silva was up there for me and he got popped as well.
Yep.
But the GOAT conversation is one. Fedor's never been in mine. I know a lot of people have had Fedor in theirs. He's never been in mine.
Yeah. The problem is he didn't know when to say when. That's the problem with Fedor.
Who, Fedor?
Yeah.
I mean, also Fedor, I thought was overrated. And I thought was, I mean, you're the best fighter in the world and you're fighting Zulu Zinu. You're fighting Hong Man Choi. That's who you're fighting?
Yeah.
Like, come on now. What are we doing here?
Yeah,
like,
but he did. He also took out, he took out some pretty good guys in his day.
He was a great fighter. He was an incredible fighter. I just don't, I wouldn't have had him in the GOAT conversation.
Right.
GOAT heavyweight, for sure I would have had him in that conversation. But like, John Jones, I think from an in-the-cage standpoint, probably one of the best fighters ever, because even the close fights that he had, he still came in and beat Daniel Cormier just stayed a heavyweight, there's a chance Daniel Cormier could be the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Right.
And he beat him as well. He beat Vitor Belfort. He beat Chael Sonnen, who were a couple of the best middleweights ever as well. Then, of course, he ran the gamut of those fighters as well. Like, it was very, very impressive, but
Well, I hope John Jones can get his shit together, because it's unfortunate what's happening to him now. I think his retirement announced, but I don't think it's by accident that he announced that right before the news came out about the latest thing. So, and the fact that Dana White, who I'm sure knew about that incident in Albuquerque, just kind of mentioned matter of factly in the middle of a press conference, oh, by the way, John Jones is retired.
Yeah,
he knew that news was going to come out too. So
I would say so. We got one more. What's a pro wrestling finisher you wish would be used more? And he says, for me, it's the rolling Alabama slam. See, Masakatsu Funaki in UWF. So, I mean, I know the reason they don't do a lot of Alabama slams anymore is because it's hard to protect your head. It's hard to avoid concussion. I got to be boring. A good old-fashioned DDT. I have pitched this, and I wish that somebody would do it in AEW. You've got Jake the Snake Roberts. Do vignettes of Jake the Snake Roberts in like a dimly lit training center showing somebody how to do the DDT. And they're not showing him how to do the DDT. He's showing them how to do his DDT, Jim.
If Jake does that DDT, Jake's not getting off the mat.
Camera trickery, Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly.
Use AI.
Yeah. It'll be another honky tonk man shake, rattle, and roll from the independent circuit.
Oh, this is hilarious.
You know
but
what?
No. You don't have to have him physically doing it, but you could also have a big crash pad or something.
Yeah. So I really liked, and it's funny because Braun Strowman started doing it. And I don't think it has nothing to do with me ever sitting on a podcast, but I always loved the Bulldog running power slam and thought that no one was doing it the way that Bulldog used to do it. Braun started doing it, decently, I suppose. That's up there. And is anybody doing anything quite like the heart attack these days? Or remember the Power and Glory?
Well,
they did the superplex and the splash.
I bet you Natalya and Maxine are about to do that.
Maybe. Yeah, that was always good. And the New Day, they do a version of the demolition finish. I actually like the demolition version much better than the New Day version. I think the demolition version looked better. But there's a lot of moves out there that I thought used to be good that you're not seeing anymore, or they're doing them a little bit differently and not necessarily better, but yeah.
Yeah. I would like to do a full video on something like that. Maybe I'll do a Fightful Presents video, but guys, I want to say thank you all. Me and Jimmy going 90 minutes like it's back in the day. Look at that.
Yep. I got my wife home today, so she's got my kid, but I'm getting knocks at the door, so I do have to bolt.
Until next time, my friends, we're out.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.